delighted, both personally and professionally, that you are all here. So many old friends and new, I hope. I thought that you would like to know a little bit about the Johnson Foundation, those of you who are here for the first time. And for those of you who are back, some of you after 5 years, 10 years, you might like to know some of the things we've been doing in these intervening years. The Johnson Foundation was established 25 years ago as a private operating foundation. That means that we make no grants. We use our funds to convene persons here on current issues of great concern. Those meetings of persons might be on a national level, international, or regional. We are here in this building and in this southeastern corner of Wisconsin because the Johnson family, who lived in this house for 20 years, gave it to the Johnson Foundation in 1959 to use as a conference center. And so we use it just as you're going to be using it for the next 3 days. According to our mandate, we have a particular interest in 4 or 5 issues that confront all peoples today. On an international level, it is the cause of world peace, arms control, U.S.-Soviet relations, and the needs of developing countries. On a domestic level in the United States, race relations in the United States, education on all levels with a particular emphasis recently on secondary school education, and the whole area of women's equality, both within the United States and internationally. I thought that you might be interested to know about a few of the things that we've done in this area of women in recent years. One of the first conferences that was held at Wingspread in the very early 60s was on the subject of women in college teaching. And it's interesting to think that just 25 years ago, it was necessary to talk to women and encourage them to think seriously about careers for themselves. And beyond that, to consider college teaching as such a career. But such was the fact. We've come a long way since then. And some of the things that we have been doing recently are these. We've had conferences here within the past 18 months on the subject of commensurate pay for women, black women in business, women in the judiciary in the United States, with women judges from all levels in the country, including the highest level, with Sandra Day O'Connor here. We've talked about the role of women in American agriculture, which Irene Tinker had arranged with particular focus on what were the implications of American women in American agriculture for developing countries. We've talked about women and national security issues. That's a conference that was organized by the League of Women Voters of the United States on an issue that was voted when Lou Kleinfeld was president of the League. Yes, national security. And on that particular conference, two women from every state came together to talk about how women could, in fact, educate themselves and their neighbors, both male and female, about the great issues that confront our country in terms of security, arms issue, and arms control. Last fall, a group of about 25 women came together, all of them having been very active in the past 20 years in what is generally called the women's movement, women who had assumed leadership positions either in business, education, government, and they came to look back over the past 20 years and to look ahead to the future and to think about what kinds of leadership was going to be needed for women in the country in the future and how they, the women who accomplished so much in the past, might be helpful to those young women who were coming up. Out of that conference, interestingly, Sissy Fahrenthold was here for that particular conference. There were 4 black women at that conference of 25 American women. The 4 black women thought it was such a good idea that they have proposed and will now hold here in May next month a conference of black women leaders of the past 20 years. and where they have come from, where they're going, and how they can help future black women leaders. A conference just about maybe a year ago brought together some young women leaders of colleges and universities in the United States with women working in education today, women who are in leadership positions. They perhaps were presidents of colleges or deans, and they realized that the important training ground that they had had when they were in college and university no longer existed for young women. A very strange fallout from equality in colleges and the loss of many all-women's colleges is that women no longer have the kinds of opportunities they had in all-women's organizations on a campus or in all-women's colleges to learn leadership techniques, because in so many cases, men, now a part of the whole, were assuming those leadership roles and women were allowing it to happen. And so the question was, how do we rebuild and reinstitute that important training ground for young women? And the young woman took hold, and hopefully it will make a difference in college life for young women. On the international level, some of the most interesting conferences we've had in recent years have been of delegations of women from other countries. There was a delegation of Soviet women who met here with their counterparts. The delegation consisted of women in health services, women in education, women in government, women in business, and they met here with their counterparts in American society to talk about their experiences, similar or dissimilar. That was so useful that subsequently we had a conference of a delegation of Chinese women from the PRC who met with American women. Joan Gooden was here for that one, Chinese women. And then also a delegation of Japanese women meeting with American women. Last fall? I think the African Women Conference. A group of women from Africa met here with a group of American women, particularly representatives of black women's organizations, to talk about the needs of African women and how women in America could be helpful to those African women. That conference was organized by the African American Institute, and they have developed some extraordinary programs as a result of that particular conference. And something that I think all of us feel very proud of was the founding, the establishment of the Association of Women in Development, which was founded here in spring of 1982. In the fall of 83, just last fall, AWID, the Association for Women in Development, held its first national conference in Washington, D.C. Jay Knowles is presiding officer of the association. That conference was organized for a group of 300 women. 800 women showed up. There wasn't room to hold them all in the hotel in Washington. And there were individual sessions going on simultaneously, you know, and it's some, maybe many of you were there, and you'll remember that there were women standing outside doors of rooms because they couldn't get into some of the rooms. Well, these are some of the kinds of conferences concerned with women that the Johnson Foundation has held. You can see why we are, and I am most particularly very, very happy that you're here. We hope that this meeting will be as productive as all of us want it to be. My colleagues and I are here to help you in every way we can. Arvan, we wish you Godspeed.
Rita, as you can, as you heard from that, a lot of good things happen out of this place, and I expect when Rita introduces the next women's group, she'll add us to our list. And maybe we'll even be at the top of the list. I'm delighted that you're all here. I mean, I look around this room and know most of you, and am really impressed. A little panicked, I must say. I said to my husband as he was driving me to work this morning, and if I really thought about it hard, I'd say, what's a Minneapolis housewife doing? Doing this. And as I look around here, I really am absolutely delighted and pleased that you're all here. What a strong, bright, intelligent, representative group. And I suppose if we added up, it would probably be thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, that we all know. And I've been amazed at people coming in and, oh, I met you here, or I met you there, or we were at this or that. So you are representing networks of networks of networks, I think. And as I look around, I figure if a group like this can't make something happen, probably nobody can. So I don't have, other than the printed agenda, a real agenda, except as I was looking towards Nairobi, having been at Mexico City and Copenhagen, it seemed to me we were in a period when there were fewer resources and more expectations. That we have come a long way since Mildred and a number of the others put together the NGO forum in Mexico City, and I'm sure as Mildred sits here, she's thinking of that. What Mexico City was like. We're absolutely delighted that Dame Nita Barrow, the convener of the NGO Forum for Nairobi, is here, and that Karen Himmelstrand, I can't even see her.
She's
here. Way in the back. Karen and I think back to the early days of the Women in Development Group, and most of us here, I think, remember Copenhagen. So that my purpose in thinking about this conference some year or two ago was that the expectations of a lot of women who will come to Nairobi need to be met. And I was thinking, as Rita was talking about the AWID conference, expecting 300 and having 800, that the, as I understand from the regional meeting in Japan in March, somebody reported to me sort of the same thing. They expected X number for lunch and double that number showed up. That's what's happened during the UN decade for women, that a lot of women are getting active and they're coming to meetings and they're in asking and insisting that things get done. So as we look at the less money than probably we as a group had in 1980, the resource we have is time and our own experience and our networks. And I guess I'll just say up front that I think we have a responsibility to work in this group and then with all the networks we know to make that Nairobi conference the major women's conference up to now. In a way, as the end of the decade, we're kind of on our own. We who represent women's organizations, women's groups. I don't know what will happen if the official conference will decide to somehow continue something. We have the UN Commission on the Status of Women, and we all owe a great debt to all of those women and organizations who've kind of been carrying on the women's movement through the UN Commission from the very beginning of the UN. But now it seems to me there is, in fact, an international women's movement and a conference coming up. at which there will be an explosion of both interest and a kind of panorama of interests far beyond education, employment, health, and women in decision making. I don't look at this conference here to make decisions for the world, but it seems to me that if Nairobi is going to be as effective as it can be, we need to start early, talk to our networks, develop here the framework that at least we think will be necessary to make the Nairobi NGO conference and even the official one as effective as it can be. The other one is the media message. As I talk to groups, especially in the US, there's a lot of confusion about what these Women's World Conferences are about, and I guess I will say with all honesty that what most people remember from Copenhagen is the political differences between women. The media, in a sense, reported the political differences but didn't report the consensus, and didn't report because we didn't really have a structure, I suppose, to give them the message of the progress that had been made from, say, Mexico City and International Women's Year to Copenhagen. As I looked at both of them, in Mexico City, we were a collection of women far less organized than we are now across the world. We kind of asked governments to do things. We talked about our oppression, and we talked a bit about reform. But generally, it seems to me, we made a list of minimum goals and we asked governments to do things. By the time we got to Copenhagen, I think we realized that governments don't do things unless they're pushed and pulled. And those of us who are in politics, I suppose, said, aha, it's the same here as any place else, that nothing happens, really, unless there's a committed group who take responsibility to make something happen. Also, as I look around and listen to, again, American women and others, I think that, in a way, we were a little bit naive in the sense, naive is not the right word, that we don't understand that we do have political differences, but we also have common interests. And we need to accept the fact, somebody said to me the other day, women are purists. Either you're all good or you're all bad. Well, we aren't all, maybe we are all some good and all some bad. But in any event, we are going to have political differences, but we need to transcend those and work together where we have common interests. So you'll see that on the agenda. As I said earlier, in a sense, we're on our own. The women's organizations, after the decade, are going to have, in a sense, the responsibility for carrying on this international women's movement. That's why, in a way, I felt that a meeting like this was important, and I'm so pleased that we've got, though not a totally representative group, a representative group. I guess I will say also, Rita talked about leadership. At least in my institution, the Humphrey Institute of Public Affairs, and in many other groups and institutions that I'm talking about, there is now a new interest in leadership combined with kind of responsibility. We went through a period of participation, which was very good. But now we are looking at
leadership, responsibility, and kind of self-discipline if you're, and development if you're part of a women's organization. And so I don't know if all my stream of consciousness speaking here makes sense. What I'm trying to say is that I thought it was important to get as representative and good a group together as we could to talk about what we thought ought to come out of Nairobi and what ought to go into it. I think that while participation and just the you all come is good at times, I think we've grown a little past that, and it's time to get down to serious business and accept our responsibilities along with all of those whom we associate with to make this, the Nairobi Conference, the best conference that we can. Having said that, you've all read the agenda, and I've heard from many of you that you're as pleased as I am that you're here. And I thought we would now go around the room, and at first I was going to go around the room and just start here and here and here. But I know I've been to conferences and I've looked at these lists and I thought, no, I can't remember exactly this one or that one. So I'm going to go around alphabetically. You all have a list. You can open it up. And nobody's going to look at what anybody else writes down. We're going to start with the A's. And since everybody here can read, if you will stand up and say your name, then everybody else can read your title and your address. And we obviously will start with Doris Anderson. And in this Scandinavian country, we have another Anderson.
I'm Kristen Anderson.
And Carmen Burroughs.
Yes, I'm Carmen Burroughs.
I'm Nita Bauer.
You're a very bright group, but I realize it's time to read and know if you're next. All right, Jane Cottingham. Vivian Derrick. Francis, otherwise known as Sissy Farenthold. And Kay Fraley. Oh, and I'm Fraser. Margaret Gailey.
Peggy Gailey.
Yes, if you have a nickname, Margaret. Say it. Jane Gale. Jane Gale is the Canadian who is ill and couldn't come. Joan Gooden.
Joan Gooden.
Who wears glasses on. She's the other one who wears glasses on the end of her nose. Margaret Goodman.
Who is Margaret?
Who is Margaret?
Karen Himmelstrand.
Ruth Heinerfeld. Ellen Hoffman, Janice Hughes, UK, and Jay Knowles, and Barbara Knudsen, Becky Kroll, whom I will say a couple words about. She's my assistant, and if anything's wrong, you talk to her. Millie Lee. Millie Lee?
No. Yeah.
Carol Limas, Venus.
Limas.
Limas. Here to like Lima, otherwise known as many of us.
Can I do it again?
Yes, you do it.
Here to meet Lima.
Mayo Hannon, Lindsay Neiman of Canada. Elvis Bessinger. Third group of
Did I do that right?
Yeah, do that okay.
Say it again.
Say it again. Do that okay.
Bruno Rao.
Was very good.
Marilyn Richards. Jill Rizika.
Rizika.
Nancy Rubin. Jill Sheffield. Peg Simpson. Peg or Peggy? Either. Kristen Timothy. Irene Tinker. Aminata Traore.
She did not come. Her husband got sick. And her husband is a diplomat in New York, and he got sick, so he went there. So she told that she couldn't come.
Thank you very much. We have three Mason fellows, and only one.
The other one, you know, her mother's father died, so she's taking care of her mother, so she was a big problem. So I'm representing
everybody. It's a bad season because Peggy Antrobus, who many of you know, was very excited about coming, but her mother-in-law is very ill, and so Peggy could not come. Carmen Delgado Bota.
I want to know what barasa means.
Yes. Ann Walker. Back from the Tribune Center. Doris Ann Younger.
Now I'm Dobie.
Joyce Yu. That's it.
Well, our fellow.
And we have some others. We have some fellows and some guests. Those who aren't on the list, will you introduce yourself?
Sister Maria.
I'm sorry, she is on the list. On the very last page.
Trying to fool.
Sister Rita.
I'm Sister Rita Matipo from Tanzania, but right now I'm at Arvena College studying in Milwaukee.
And our other fellow will be here tomorrow morning.
Fellow being a woman, why do we call a woman fellow today? We don't have a name for the fellow. When I thought you've all had the agenda,
on here it says that I would do a synthesis of the decade, but I put out a booklet which you've all got read. And I think what I would rather hear, and all of you would rather hear, is from people who were in Vienna at the Status of Women and Preparatory Committee and other meetings. I will say that the women as insiders and outsiders, I'll just very quickly say that my theory is that women to be effective have to do is learn how women who are active in women's organizations and want to change things, how government works, who are the insiders, how you influence them. Hopefully there are going to be more and more women inside government, but that those who are outside have far more influence than they understand. And it's probably the most important thing that women have to learn, and I see Peggy Galey here shaking her head. She's an insider on the House Foreign Affairs Committee, and she knows what the strength of outside groups can mean to policy change. And so how many of you were in Vienna recently? And will you just one by one, maybe we'll start with you, Joyce. And unless you don't think that's the right sequence, report on what?
Kristen.
Start with Kristen.
Kristen is the secretary.
All right, Kristen. I should say one other thing, that some people who are insiders here, we respect your position, but you're all here both as individuals and representing whoever you think you represent. We aren't here to so you can sort of say who you represent and give us a little overview.
Our mom, maybe before she starts, I'll just pass these out and then that would help because they could follow along.
All right.
I brought the decade notes.
All the notes.
So just pass them down. And
most of you probably have seen this.
No.
Well, it's hard to speak to a group like this. I think probably ultimately questions and answers. My skirt's falling off. I ate church. That's a price you pay for spending a month in Vienna. What are we doing in Vienna? We had two meetings. The Commission on the Status of Women met in its regular session, its 30th session, and then it met for 10 days as a preparatory body for the conference. I think it's important to say that at the 30th session, a kind of strategy started to unfold as regards the question, Palestinian women and women under apartheid, which I'll mention in a moment. But let me just quickly say, I think probably you're more interested in what happened at the preparatory meeting, and I'll mention what happened at the commission that was relevant today. At the preparatory meeting, the idea was to look at the progress being made with preparation of documentation, to adopt the rules of procedure, and to talk about the organization of the conference itself. We did talk about the progress in documentation. We did not talk about rules of procedure, and we did talk about the organization of the conference. Documentation largely being prepared by the Secretariat and by the UN agencies. Three documents, I would say, were recommended that we hadn't known about before. One on women refugees, with the idea that it would be prepared by the UN High Commission for Refugees, although it doesn't say so. Our colleagues from the Eastern Bloc didn't want it to say so. But we've asked the UN High Commission for Refugees to undertake that. The other two documents, one will be on the situation of women inside and outside the Arab-occupied territories, and the other will be on the situation of women under apartheid. Now, just briefly, the strategy. What happened? At the Commission on the Status of Women at its 30th session, the Secretariat put out one paper, dealing with both of these issues, just a status report giving facts and figures on the situation of women, you know, how many there are, what their problems are, exactly what their, it's sort of an update based on UN information, UN sources of information. And at that meeting, it was agreed that for future meetings of the commission, this would be again updated. In other words, whatever new information was available would be put into the report. Now, I say this was a strategy because we got a consensus on that. And I think everyone was hoping that when we got to the preparatory body, we would be able to define more clearly what those documents would contain. Because as you know, the General Assembly had introduced this idea into the agenda of the conference for Nairobi. The preparatory body last year had not mentioned these topics specifically, but at the General Assembly it was agreed that there would be particular attention given to these issues. Okay, so there was an agreement at the commission that there would be some sort of documentation, and everybody seemed to agree what it would be. This was maintained in the preparatory body, so it now is part of the basic documentation for the conference. But the secretariat will prepare this. The document on women and apartheid will be prepared in close consultation with ECA. And the other document is basically up to the secretariat. Now, if this consensus, which was very broad, holds, then that's the way it'll be handled. Okay, so that's basically those two issues, and the whole question of sort of new documentation. The documentation we already know about, review and appraisal, there was a lot of discussion about the questionnaire, whether it was, we were getting replies. I learned today we have replies from 40 countries, which is quite a bit. Some, we're looking for money to help a few countries who are in need of assistance in responding to the questionnaire. We kind of unofficially, we keep moving the deadline up a little bit to give people a chance to reply. For this group, I'll say end of May. That's it. No. One thing I think is important to know, the preparation of this questionnaire has had a lot of interesting aspects to it. In a lot of countries, it has become a source of mobilizing women once again. Committees have been formed, groups have been brought together. So there's a process, maybe it's a political process going on, in order to answer this questionnaire. So in a way, you know, we have mixed feelings. We want that process to go on. We don't want to say, you know, you're too late or whatever, because these things take time, particularly in some countries. So, but we are also under certain constraints. So kind of end of May, that's the what we think, you know, when we're really going to start reading these things with great seriousness and pulling all the material together. So if you're not in there by the end of May, you're going to be either tacked on or forgotten in the first round anyway. So that's the review and appraisal questionnaire. There was a lot of concern, and please, all of you who were also there, you feel free, you know, I'll give a run over and then fill in the details, because there are several people here who were at the meeting. But there was some concern about the scope of the questionnaire, and most of the concern came, well, the most obvious concern was on the issue of peace. There was some dissatisfaction with the way the issue of peace had been handled, in spite of the fact that really it's been kind of handled in the same fashion that the Declaration on the Participation of Women in Peace and International Cooperation was handled, on which there was a consensus. But there were governments who were trying to press for more information on peace, and it raised the whole issue of, can governments send other information besides what's asked for? And it was decided that if governments have other information besides what's requested in the questionnaire, they can send it, and then we are going to have to figure out how to deal with it. Okay. On the forward-looking strategies, it was very clear that this is now going to be the source of the sort of outcome of the conference in formal terms. That everyone was clear that the conference was going to produce a set of forward-looking strategies. That seemed pretty obvious to me, but it became obvious to everyone at this meeting. What that meant was that people really were focusing more attention on that, and there was an attempt to give some guidance on the preparation of these strategies. And a number of issues were mentioned, and I probably should have them in front of me because I'll miss a few, but things like women without easy means of support should be dealt with, aging women, rural women, young women, you know, there was a kind of list of this sort, and if anybody's interested, you know, we can pull that out and give you the specifics. To give some additional topics, or to make sure that these things are incorporated. They're not really additional, they're there, but to kind of give an extra weight. And there was a lot of discussion about this kind of thing, about what should be in these forward-looking strategies. And I think it's important that those of us who were there were very conscious of the fact that the women from the third world felt very strongly about this, were very concerned about what was going to go into these forward-looking strategies. And they were working very hard amongst themselves to produce what they felt were important issues. And so the resolution, really, of the Group of 77 is important from that point of view, because they succeeded in coming up with a kind of laundry list, which from their point of view was important to them. And I think that's important to us, because I don't think at the last preparatory meeting we saw as much collaboration and activity on the part of the women of the third world in really showing an interest in what was going on. So that seemed important to me. And the whole discussion about forward-looking strategies, I mean, it's still fairly nebulous. And anything that we can, you know, say about that here this weekend is useful from whatever perspective anybody has any, you know, real ideas about what shape those should take or how they should be formulated. If it comes into our discussions, I think that's very useful. So review and appraisal, forward-looking strategies. There's also going to be a world survey on women, which deals more with economic sectors. That's important because it's an issue that's coming out of the second committee of the United Nations General Assembly, which is the economic committee as opposed to the social and humanitarian committee. And it's an attempt to infiltrate women's issues into that very difficult world where you know, it's very threatening to have this issue there. But the World Survey is an attempt to break into that and to show that women's issues are economic issues. They're not only social issues. And this is not easy to sell, at least inside the UN. I don't know what your experience is, but that's very important for that reason. And that's going to be put together by a kind of magical combination of specialized agencies, consultants, and salt and pepper and stir kind of thing. But hopefully it'll at least be a beginning. Probably that survey will point more to what we don't know than to what we do know. But hopefully it'll raise some of the important questions and flag the issues so that we can move on from there. It may be a directional thing rather than a real survey, because the data is pretty, you know, there's a lot of data that's missing if you really want to do a serious review of women and money and finance, or women and science and technology, or women and energy, women and agriculture. So that's the World Survey on the Role of Women in Development.
Excuse me, when will that occur, do you think, in 85?
It'll be ready, it's supposed to be ready for the third preparatory meeting.
Uh-huh.
In fact, all the documentations, all the documents, except the refugee women, are supposed to be ready for review at the third preparatory meeting, which is why the work on all of these is taking place between now and October, basically.
When is it?
March 85. Yeah, early March.
When, could you elaborate a little about the report on the situation of women in and out of the occupied territory?
Peggy, I'm not sure
the apartheid study would be done in cooperation with PCA and the women refugees in cooperation with UNHCR. So we just don't want to mention that it will be done. But I didn't quite understand who was going to do the
women in prisons. That will be done by the
ECLA?
No. Mm-hmm. It'll be done by the branch of the ECLA. Branch for the Advancement of Women, which is the secretariat for the conference, and they're located in Vienna. So it will not be done by ECWA. That was the question. That was the problem with COVID.
Statistical indicators, is that what you mean by the World Survey?
No, there will also be a kind of like a handbook on statistical indicators on women, which is being put together by the UN Statistical Office. Sorry, I'm glad you mentioned that.
I thought Instra was going to do a book on itself.
Not on that per se, as far as I know. They're not. They've been involved in the workshops on developing the statistics. So that's the documentation, basically. There will be something on UN activities during the decade, you know, the usual thing, FAO. So. And we're hoping that that will put particular emphasis on what's happening in the field of technical cooperation. And there are several evaluation studies going on, one by the Voluntary Fund of its own programs, a forward-looking assessment of its own activities. The UNDP is organizing an evaluation in five countries, which will be an update of an evaluation they did a few years ago, and it involves the agencies. We would love to have something that would, you know, do analysis of bilateral assistance, but we aren't undertaking that ourselves, so if you know anybody who is, be terrific.
All the world, all the
everybody's doing their own evaluations, but the key is to put them together, make them available. I don't know, that's just something we'd like to see, but I don't know how we organize it. Okay, that's documentation. The decision's taken, just quickly, decision, yes, to host, let Nairobi be the venue, 15 to 26 July, to allow the sort of same kind of NGO participation that took place in Copenhagen, but I won't speak to that. I'll let others say more about that because they're more able to talk on that than I am. Structure of the conference, it was decided that there would be two committees and a plenary, and that the plenary would essentially deal with review and appraisal, but that the two committees would spend the first couple of meetings on review and appraisal, and then look at forward-looking strategies, one at the national level, and the other committee dealing with the international and regional. This is, of course, subject to space availability. But we think that Nairobi, that the Kenyans can provide space for three simultaneous meetings, we hope. At least because that's the decision, and if it changes, then it has to be modified. That was the way it was structured. And a lot of emphasis on giving equal time to peace, equality, and development. There was a lot of emphasis on that. And that a lot of with the documentation, the review and appraisal, and the forward-looking strategies should try to do that. Now, what that means is something a little different from what we've done in the past. It means that we're going to be faced with trying to organize our ideas more under these three main themes, including fitting in the sub-themes somewhere. And that's pretty challenging. If you were to take the Copenhagen Program of Action and take a pair of scissors and peace, equality, and development, try to rearrange it, you know. But it's an interesting exercise. We also decided on the agenda for the next preparatory meeting. And basically, it's the agenda of the conference. One item on review and appraisal, and one item on forward-looking strategies. And the documentation for the conference will be reviewed under these agenda items. So I think that's enough for me to say, you know, sort of as a quick roundup, and let others fill in the holes and crevices, unless you have questions for me.
Just quickly, did I understand you say that it is assumed that the various UN bodies will also do something in the area of documentation, and particularly the ILO?
Keep in mind that there's been a real sense that the amount of official documentation for the conference, you know, that comes out with a little cover that says Nairobi Conference and all that, should be kept to the minimum. Everybody has stressed that. So what's happening is, more or less what I've described to you will be the documentation that comes out in the nice little covers. In addition to that, however, each agency has mentioned that they are preparing studies or reports in other contexts, but on women and employment, women and health, and they're being encouraged to provide those to the conference, you know, in enough copies so that they're available to everyone. They won't carry a symbol, and as far as I know, and that sort of thing. They will just be there, and it means you'll have to scurry around to kind of get hold of all these things. But it's because everybody said, you know, don't flood us with lots of documentation. I think, you know, there are two schools of thought on that. But the agencies will come with their treaties and research reports and that sort of thing.
So it's possible that, for instance, the ILO has decided to do X review of their own work, and we just have to go find that out as a separate item.
Yeah, exactly. But they'll also, they're going to be reviewing, they're going to be drafting really the analysis on women and employment in the review and appraisal.
Yeah.
They're working on things, contributions to the survey, and also to the whole review of UN system activities. So they're in the picture, but they're just not, they haven't been asked to prepare an official document as a separate piece.
Kristen, I'd like to ask one question.
Sure.
You mentioned that the women from Core World, they had different strategy concern. Can you explain what sort of strategy they had? Did they give some option to your agenda, something like that? Yeah, I did not get well, because I'm also from Third World, so.
That's a good question. They put a lot of emphasis on the need to look at the problems of rural women. That was a major concern. Rural women.
But you did not, you means the committee did not think that the problem of rural women was the genuine issue in Third World?
No, they did. What I was trying to say was that the Third World women got together this time and really talked a lot about what it is they wanted to see the conference do. And rural women was one of the main issues that they were, and it was agreed by everyone that it would be a main issue. There is going to be we'll call it an interregional seminar on rural women before the conference, which will be attended by people from all over. And I don't know the details of that because when I left New York, it was still being hatched. But that will be, that will generate, hopefully, some kind of a report that will feed into this concern of rural women. It's also in the questionnaire, and, it's coming up from different directions, but it's definitely become a kind of underlying theme, if I may put it that way, of the Nairobi Conference, along with, development and capital feed.
I think Kristen has identified a number of things, but one thing that I've been thinking about a great deal and talking to some of you about, that what is needed externally outside the UN is apparently being talked about inside as far as a conference, is kind of, you can call it either a short list or a framework. How you group the issues and how you group the strategies so that they're understandable, so that you don't come out with a list of 294 paragraphs and different ideas. And that, I hope, is something that this group would think about and would maybe by Sunday noon have at least a proposal or what we think that short list or that framework might be. I've been thinking about it myself, and I'll throw out what I mean by this short list. When somebody asks the old Freud question, well, what do women want? My short list is that violence is no solution to problems. That the worldwide feminization of poverty must be eliminated, that ignorance, illiteracy, a lack of access to information, put it the other way, that we need to reduce illiteracy. Think if we're looking forward, and we're looking to the year 2000, the girl that's 5 now will be 20 in the year 2000, and if she is illiterate. I mean, we begin now so that with programs so that she will not end up an illiterate woman. And somebody suggested that a short list might be freedom from violence, ignorance, poverty, and subordination. What I'm saying is, when somebody asks you what is this conference all about, you have to have a short list or a media message. And I hope that we can at least suggest what one formulation might be. Dame Nita Barrow, would you like to, would you tell us a bit about what the NGO groups decided or have been thinking about so far as Nairobi's concerned in what happened at the meetings in Vienna?
Many people here are representative of those groups, but what I can tell you that at the present moment, we have established the planning committees after a series of invitations and notices to NGOs who are in consultative status. The committees exist in Geneva, in Vienna, in New York and in Nairobi. So far, in traveling, Vienna, we had a meeting of the committee there. We've had two meetings in Geneva. One really took place with the Status of Women group. And we've had one in New York. And Virginia Hazard, who's just visited Kenya, has had one with the group which is meeting there. The plan of work is that, unlike last time, we have a convener. I listened to what you're saying a while ago about sort of pulling it together. Each of the main themes and the sub-themes have had conveners named: equality, peace, development, education, health, and employment. We have added older women and younger women, two separate groups. Three conveners in Vienna, in Geneva, two definitely in New York, one in Nairobi, education. We have a co-convener in Eastern Europe in order to give access to those women. She is in employment. A co-convener in Paris, and this is all in minutes which some of you will get and which we have a couple of coffees with us. The idea is that those conveners are not conveners of small groups in a place. Kay Fredley is one of the conveners. She's equality. But they serve as a focal point. They have got a committee working with them in the place where they are, but anyone who writes to us under certain headings, we refer them to the particular convener so that we can subsume a lot of the topics that women want to share will have a definite grouping around it. We have also Anne Wilkinson, the media people, who are working on a tech and tool fair. That's the name they produced this week. We had a small group meeting on that. At the present moment, we have a groundwork laid, therefore, because those conveners then formed the steering committee. That steering committee, along with the chairpersons of the Status of Women committees in Vienna, in Geneva, in New York, and others in Zambia as president of Congo, are making up with some of our finance committee people the group that will have to make the ultimate decisions on some aspects of the conference. I heard a statement that participation was out and leadership was in. We think both things belong together. We have got to have the feeling that people are participating in the various, we won't call it capitals, but centers, because there was some fear that decisions might be made in one or other place without other people getting a chance to say their piece. So that the four committees have equal status, and because they lead a peripatetic existence, it's possible, without the budget that we don't yet have, to have had those meetings traveling on other people's concerns. The second point is that the steering committee will have to do many things by correspondence, but at the same time, we're trying to build in meetings like this week whenever opportunity permits. We've met just yesterday, we're just looking across at it, with our small nucleus of a finance committee to see how we make a forum possible when we are told by every agency we go to that women are out there doing their thing and everybody's asking for money to do their thing to get to Nairobi. We want to tell you, after 3.5 hours with the Minister of Culture in Vienna, there's going to be no thing unless there is a forum to hold you together, because they are so scared of what women on the loose will do that we are having a big battle to make them see that we can even overlap without being a danger to them with the important meeting. The Kenyan Minister of Culture. Which one did I say?
Well, Vienna.
He was in Vienna, but it was the Kenyan Minister of Culture who brought a lovely group of 7 women to show us what impressive women he had in Kenya who were going to be our NGO committee, and then proceeded to tell us what he thought we should do. And I think he got disabused after 3 hours. And we couldn't tell women not to come, but we made sure it came to something positive. That, if he didn't have us overlap, then the women on the loose would do the very thing he feared. And so we hope that with the combination of us all here, and that I appreciate even at the last minute being able to come, because I think we have some real planning, because we can't all go and be individualists as groups. But we have got a very significant job to do, which shows that we are responsible about moving into the 21st century. I would say that one of the thrusts in each, we did meet, of course, with the official people in Vienna, And there is the emphasis of not just looking back at what her achievements are. Maybe you would get discouraged if you only looked at that. Not just saying what the constraints are, although we're told to put our findings in three columns, but that what we hope to do, and that means that it then becomes a dead paper that goes into file 13. What we hope to do is have a forum that is action-oriented in reference to what women can do constructively in not letting 1985 be the end of women. It may be the end of the decade. The other thing we are having is a pre-conference consultation, because we've been given until November to put in the thoughts of women into the third PrepCon that I think Kristen mentioned. And so in October, we will have in a four-day conference, mainly of the non-governmentals who are in relationship with the United Nations in Vienna. But that means that other women's groups and organizations and people who are interested in a feeding, we hope to have between 250 and 300 women at that, with a definite plan as to how we take the findings from the various questionnaires related to future planning and get that into what we've told is to be a two-page document. We are in the age of miracles where we are concerned as women. We're working with the miracle of no money, but hoping it's going to come. We're working in the miracle of taking women's verbosity and getting it down to two pages. But the biggest miracle is if we all find beds in Nairobi and we all have a concerted program which moves us forward.
I think you heard one concern that I think needs to be talked about, and there are people here who are much more knowledgeable than I, which is why I want to get talked about, the logistics and the fear, if I may say so, of some of the Kenyan officials, what all these women on the loose and sort of in seriousness, I want to ask the question if they are, in a way, asking for more structure or fewer people. Mm-hmm.
I think I'd like to answer that by saying they're not saying more structure. What I think they're saying is more control. And what we are trying to say is there is a balance to be achieved. And I think we have worked now with a plan with them in the sense that we know who our partners are in Kenya. For instance, by dialoguing with the women who were there in Vienna, the seven who are very responsible, a woman, new member of parliament, the woman who's head of Girl Guides, one who is president of the International Federation of University Women, who's going to be the convener for the education coordinator for that. We could assure them they were unclear as to their function as a non-governmental committee in relationship to the forum, the organization of the forum. Now they know they don't have the weight of organizing the forum, and the visit of Virginia Hazard followed up on our discussions with them, which told them the logistics that we think it's important for them to do. For instance, when we got to Vienna, when I got there, those of you who were ahead know that a statement had been made that the forum would be the 1st to 10th of July. When we talked to them, it was because they felt, the women of Kenya said, they did not wish the forum to be treated any less than the official delegation. That if we had it before, their reasons were different from the ministers. If we had it before, then they could ensure us of the Kenyan center. They could assure us that we would have the same reduced rates in hotels, then we would move out as the meeting came in. But you know how impractical that is to even consider. Yeah. We had to reassure them that we would not consider ourselves second-class citizens if we had parallel accommodation, because we did not wish to feel that we had to get out for somebody else to come in. I mean, I'm putting it bluntly that way, because we know we wouldn't get people out of hotel rooms if they were there and they planned to stay. In any case, their worry then was that they had to go ahead and have banquets for us, safaris, and so they have considerable budget. And we explained we weren't there about that. But what we did say, frankly, was that they had some definite jobs to do. They had to help us to find the kind of space that allowed us rooms of various sizes. that we had to put opening, I believe Ann was putting us on the football field, and we still think that's a good idea for a big enough opening to bring all of Kenya, and that relieved them because they thought we'd have to be in the Kenyatta Hall. They then asked them to do something on accommodation, which is important for you to know. Some of us have already had world meetings in Nairobi. We know that beds are limited, that when you get outside the 3,000 beds of the hotels and that accommodation, you are in trouble. You are not going to have beds with bathrooms attached. The minister's worry was that. He kept saying a school, a university in Kenya is not like a university in the United States or in Germany. So we have asked that they categorize the kinds of accommodation. We are not looking at them for accommodations, you know, but they will appoint a travel agent or persons. We've asked, therefore, that they assess the number of beds, the kinds of accommodation, do a descriptive passage so that people know before they go that if they're going into the dormitory of the university, they go down 2 miles the corridor to find the bathroom, yeah. And they don't go and be disappointed when that happens. So we have defined with them, both in Vienna, more recently in Nairobi, all the areas that we feel we can begin to work on for logistics. Transportation to and from centers, universities possibly available, teachers training college available, new unit quarters available for big meetings. Those we are getting into a pattern so that as we send out our alerts, we can tell the constituency what is there.
Can I ask maybe a hard question? That I think all our networks need to know. What's the maximum number of women in addition to the official delegations that Nairobi can accommodate without danger or chaos? And I mean danger be just sheer overcrowding and people unhappy because they don't have accommodation.
That's the first question we've kept pressing for. We have now an outside estimation, and we underline estimation. That's why we've asked them to do a definite survey of approximately 3,500, approximately. And that's counting up and adding beds that may be not right in the center, but say a teacher's training college like the one that's recently been built by the Canadians and another which has been built by the Swedish. They're looking to see what beds we can have there. Now that has led us to keep saying to people, we had yesterday an inquiry of one group who came and said, could they bring their whole membership? How many of your membership? 300. So we said, thank you very much, keep them down to 21. We had the Japanese telling us they had already begun to negotiate for 2 plane loads, 500 to plane load. And from now we're saying, do not expect delegations of more than that. Is the kind of structure that we all have to help our people to see that it is not a safari and a holiday. And if you come on that, then you may be likely to have to use your, oh, the minister was clear. When we said, oh, people might even bring the sleeping bags, he said, not in Kenya. We don't That's permit right. that. So people can't even say, I'll bring a caravan and camp. No. They don't want any of that kind of loose attachment. So 3,500.
That's a very serious issue that I think
we have
this group needs to discuss and figure out how we get that message to people, because Mildred, how many were in Mexico City?
Kay Klarenbach counted them. There were 7,022, according to her.
Who?
Kay Klarenbach. And that does not count the press. But that's only people who registered at the Tribune. It does not count the visiting delegates or the press. And there were 1,500 press.
Copenhagen was 8,032. And of those, however, we broke it down, registered. 5,000 represented Scandinavia and Denmark.
Yeah.
And of those 5,000, 3,000 were Denmark.
Mm-hmm.
So that we've estimated there were a little over 3,000 women who came from around the world. But I remind you, there will also be possibly 3,000 African women from these countries, because they've been organizing for the last 2 years. They haven't needed anybody to organize them. One of my African colleagues has said to me, however, that remember there's a family structure there that may take care of a lot of them. Because like the Caribbean, a friend of a friend of a friend becomes a member of the family for that night. So I'm not worrying over much about that, but I think that we should look at the fact that beds for people from outside might be not more than, and that's 3,500 hopefully, I would say, looking at what we've
experienced. There's one consideration I think needed, and that is that Mexico, being so close to the United States, drew, 2,500 Americans. Denmark, being right. in Europe, drew 4,000 Europeans or more. So you really wouldn't expect as many Europeans and Americans to get to Nairobi.
But you balance that out against the countries of
yes,
Africa.
Yes, right.
And you balance that out against what has happened during the decade.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
And that's the big thing, because I think from the indications we have, I think we could easily have 2,000 Americans. I mean, the interest is so high, and people want to participate, so that's, as you say, our responsibility.
This is one reason why I wrote this draft piece that I want comments on how to participate in Nairobi without getting home. It sounds to me like we better push that pretty hard, because
that's where you come in,
I guess the one thing we do not want is this to become a problem, for a city to become overwhelmed, and a lot of people to become very unhappy is not a situation made for harmony.
Does the 3,500 include the number of press people you're expecting and the number of official delegates also, and that's over and above the official delegates and the press?
There were 10 beds they have reserved, understandably enough, for the government conference, and they run in the region at a total of 2,500 beds, and usually in the government conference they come to press. I don't know if that's taken into account.
And then the 3,500 is over and above that?
Have they agreed that those NGOs in consultative status can attend the intergovernmental conference?
They are invited, that's
yes.
right.
Yeah, I know, but have they limited
yes.
the number?
No.
Well, I would check it, because I know when we had it. All right.
But we had a very deep discussion on this.
We did.
Oh yes,
okay.
We did. That was passed, and the invitation list and all that. We've even been given what the criteria is. They're even prepared to have others who may not be in status, but they define them as people who are doing jobs to recognize. So we checked that up to yesterday when we had a meeting, which takes care of some of our constituency.
Joyce, are there other questions for Nina? Rita, I'll ask you. I think our closing time on our sheets is 9 o'clock, and this looks back here. This that in front of me says 9:05. Can you in 2 minutes? What do you think are the highlights from meetings you attended in?
Well, yeah, I think people really covered it. I happen to have one of the releases, so I'm going to fill in some of the laundry list that Kristen didn't have in front of her on the kind of the special attention, especially vulnerable and underprivileged groups of women, such as rural and urban poor women in areas affected by armed conflicts, foreign intervention and international threats to peace, elderly women, young women, abused women, destitute women, women victims of prostitution, women deprived of traditional means of livelihood, women who are sole supporters of the families, physically and mentally disabled, women in detention, refugee and displaced women, migrant women, and indigenous women. As well as something that I had missed, that the recognizing women's role in the family mm-hmm. and women's contributions to development, like I said, but highlighting the importance of the family unit, protection and care of children, and the need to promote responsibilities of both parents.
That's the short list.
That's the short list.
Well, this is part of the basic document. Carol? These are, remember when Chris mentioned the additional special interest areas highlights?
Is it in the plan for this meeting?
Well, it's a combination of, I mean, this is, some aren't. Carol?
Yeah, I just wanted to know whether a report was being planned from this meeting and a written official.
This meeting, this meeting?
This meeting that we're sitting here having now and next, tomorrow and next.
I know that if it's a signed report, there are a lot of people who can't sign there, who are here as individuals. We expect to put out a report, but we won't say that Kristen Timothy, speaking for the UN, said such and such. I think that that's the question tomorrow afternoon and Sunday morning, whether the group itself wants to issue something as a group. We will certainly write up that a meeting was held and not that so-and-so said such and such, but the consensus seemed to be. I think this group is here to do what this group wants to do in light of the information that we're given. I think we do have an important, and in some ways I think we have a serious problem and responsibility, because I envision, and what I hear people saying, Nairobi's a place that most people have never been, and they're starting to save money now to go.
Yeah.
And that has real potential for problems is to set the women's movement back, you know, a decade. Vivian?
I just wanted to add on something about Nairobi as a city. Probably most of the people here have been there. But it is large and it is urban and it's already crowded. And we were just sitting here saying that the press can really have a field day if we don't do this right. And when you add on all the problems of development in Africa and a women's conference, it really becomes quite a volatile issue.
Why are we having this?
Yeah, and speaking of all, Vivian and I were at a consultation that our agency did, and the State Department shared their report of the U.S. State Department shared their report and impressions of, speaking of volatile, I thought it was appropriate. And their attitude is quite positive. The official report is really, I thought, more positive than what had happened at other prep comms. And they're actually looking forward to a kind of positive participation, which I thought was a real change. The report was almost laudatory of the conduct of other countries and participation, et cetera. And in fact, their internal report that they presented at a consultation that we did in Washington. And at the, they commented that they presented the resolution in support of NGO activities, in fact, at the commission meeting.
That may have been based on issues and not logistics.
Yes,
pragmatic.
Well, Vivian talked about issues, you know, things being volatile. So.
Well, we have now a little logistical problem here. We know I keep the Wingspread staff up all night, or the bus driver waiting. Wingspread very nicely, it says on your agenda, provides a room for us at the hotel where we can stand around and talk informally, and I hope we've whetted your appetites for discussion, and we'll be back tomorrow morning. Well,
where's
off
the
bus. Yes, we better start thinking quickly about satellite transmission. Tomorrow morning, what time does the bus leave the hotel?
8:30 in the morning. Have breakfast first.
Have breakfast in the hotel dining room, and be on the bus at 8:30. And if you don't make the bus, you walk. Right.